Ron calls and directs his people with his people. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That's Steve Brown. He's no guru, but he loves Jesus Christ. He loves the Bible, and he loves to teach it. The program is Key Life, and here's Steve with the teaching for today. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your pastor's sermon ministered to you in the same way mine did to me. If you have your Bible, open it to 1 and 2 Samuel. We are continuing with our study in the Old Testament. And you say, good heavens, Steve, you mean you are going through the entire Old Testament? Well, sort of. It's a survey, and we're not taking it line upon line and precept upon precept and verse upon verse. That would take a very long time, and I'm an old guy. So I eat my dessert first, because you never know. At any rate, what we're doing, and it's important, because I think most Christians have a lack in this area about their understanding of the Old Testament. So we're taking each book of the Old Testament, spending a week or two, sometimes 3 weeks, on each of the books, and I give you some tools that will help you in understanding those books. And this is going to take a long time, and if you get tired of it or I get tired of it, we'll stop it for a while and do something else and then come back to it. But we're making pretty good time. We're up to 1 and 2 Samuel. So if you have your Bible, you might want to open it to those books, and we'll be talking about it this week and probably next week also. Before we turn to the book, let's, as is our practice, go before the throne. Father, we're thankful for another week. We're thankful for life. We're thankful for our salvation. We're thankful that the life that we have now never comes to an end because it's your gift of eternal life. Father, we rejoice in the place where you found us, and we rejoice when we think about home. But in between, it's sometimes really, really hard. The wounds are deep. The fears are rampant. The guilt weighs us down. And so, Father, we come to you because we've gone every other place, and you have the word of life. Father, meet us, forgive us, relieve the burden, heal the wounds and the broken heart. Father, you know those who are listening who are going through a really tough time. And you know the sleepless nights, and you know the perspiration on foreheads, and you know the trembling hand. You know all of that. So, Father, we're here. Meet us in this place. Grant your healing and your love and your peace and your motivation and your forgiveness. Father, we praise you, not just because of all the good things that you've done for us, and you've done so many good things, but we praise you because you're God and because you're the sovereign ruler, creator, and sustainer of all that is, and you are fully worthy of our praise. Now, Father, as we study your word on Key Life, we pray for the one who teaches that you would forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, we're up to 1 and 2 Samuel. And we spent some time last week talking about some preliminary observations on this particular book, some exegetical notes, if you will. We asked who wrote 1 and 2 Samuel, and we said we're not sure about those books, but we're sure that Samuel did not write them. The events recorded in these books span a period beyond the life of Samuel. So if somebody told you Samuel did it, he didn't. What's the date of the books? The earliest date, we said last week, could be assigned at the end of the 10th century B.C., and some have said that it was probably written as late as the 6th century. I take that early date to be factual. We asked about what's the purpose of 1 and 2 Samuel, and it was to give an accurate and written history of the beginnings of the kingdom period of Israel. There are three characters about whom these two books are concerned. Samuel, he lived from 1075 to 1035 B.C. Saul, 1045 to 1010. And David, 1010 to 970 B.C. He, of course, was the greatest king, Samuel being the last judge, and Saul being the first king. I gave you an outline. And what we're going to do during our survey of 1 and 2 Samuel, because I just don't have time. There's so much good stuff in these two books, and I hope you'll take time in your own time to read both of them. And I promise you that God will do some good stuff in your mind and your heart if you take the time to read both of these books. But let me tell you what I propose to do. I want to take two incidents from the lives of each of these three main characters in 1 and 2 Samuel, Samuel, Saul, and David. And it's my hope by studying these incidents in the lives of these three great men that you and I will be inspired to go in deeper into both of these books. Then I may, after doing these two incidents, depending on how the Spirit moves, I may go back and show you some other things that I like in these particular books. We'll see. Now, last week, I had a preliminary observation, and it was this: the past is the creative data from which our present is made. Whenever the people of God were in danger of turning from God, the prophet or priest or king reminded them of their past. The history recorded in 1 and 2 Samuel is that task to which the people of God were called. Jeremiah 15:1, Psalm 99:6, Acts 3:24, Acts 13:20, Hebrews 11:32. And I suggested that that's a good practice for Christians. It's a good practice to remember a time when giants walked in the land and to say to God, do it again, do it again. I remember one time going to an ecclesiastical meeting in upper New England, in Massachusetts, and we were at the old meeting place for the Moody Institutes and the Moody meetings that took place in the summers there. It was called Northfield. They sort of lost that heritage, but D.L. Moody is buried there. Now, it will give you an idea of how exciting the ecclesiastical meeting was for me to tell you what was the best thing about that week. I and three or four others went and stood by the grave of Moody. And Moody's tabernacle is there. I want you to know, when Moody gave an invitation, the tabernacle, the aisles are geared toward the front and slanted. So when somebody got up to go forward to receive Christ, they just gave him a push and they rolled down first. Anyway, we couldn't get in the tabernacle, and those of us who were old pastors, there was a young man sitting on the grass and probably smoking some of it too. And I said to him, you think you could get us into that place? He said, I don't know, man. And I said, well, does anybody have the key? He said, I'll check, man. And I said, would you do that for us? And he said, sure, man. So we went into Moody's tabernacle and walked around and thought about the time when Moody was a giant in the land. His shadow still falls in so many places. Moody Bible Institute, so faithful, so together. And so the guys, the other pastors, were walking throughout the tabernacle. And I was standing on the stage talking to this young man who had let us in, who obviously was not a believer. And I said, what are you going to do with your life? And he said, I don't know, man. And I said, well, you must have some meaning in your life. And he said, don't think so, man. And I said, well, let me tell you something I think will help. And I told him about Jesus. And you know what happened? He decided he wanted that for his life, and he did. And so I shouted out to the old preachers who were up in the balcony. I said, let me introduce a brand new brother to you. And they came down, and you know what we did? We all joined hands, three or four old preachers and this brand new baby Christian, and held hands around the pulpit of D.L. Moody. And we said, Lord, do it again. Do it again. It helps to remember our past. We have a wonderful heritage of so many. And it's a biblical practice to look to the past and say, God, don't let me drop the torch that you have passed to me. Well, enough of that. Let's turn to the text and the incidents that have to do with this text. Turn, if you will, to 1 Samuel 3, 2 through 14. It's probably one of the best known passages in the Bible. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel, you remember Samuel had been dedicated to the Lord, was lying down within the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, Samuel, Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But he said, "I didn't call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down, and the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And you know the rest of the story. Eli said, "Next time I am, remember it's the Lord." And you say, "Here I am." And as I read that incident, there are a lot of things that one could say about it. But I think the thing that is really good about it is that the call of God to Samuel came through another believer who pointed Samuel to God. I want you to know that I believe in discipling. I don't like that word. It has this kind of connotation that people are always writing me or asking me, "Steve, will you disciple me?" I don't like that because it sounds like a lot of little Steve Browns running around, and I want you to know that would be a curse on the church. But insofar as I, a faithful believer, point them to Christ, I'm willing to do that. And that is what Eli did for Samuel, and that's what you are to do for others. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to talk more about that, but for now, I want you to remember that God always shows and leads and directs his people through his people. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Faith family, I'd like for you to be a part of it. Let me tell you how it works. Why don't you give me a call or give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day. Or you write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794. Or you write Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you email us at steve@keylife.org and ask to be a part of Key Life Faith. We do it for you. Now, these aren't the tapes of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us, we'll tell you how. These are the tapes of the places where I teach the Bible, at the chapel at Reformed Theological Seminary, where I teach the Billy Graham Training Center, a missions conference, a Bible. We take those, and every few weeks, automatically, you get a tape, and they keep coming as long as you want. And listen to me, they're absolutely free, and I really, really mean that. Now, that does not mean that I will turn down a contribution. God, this is such an expensive ministry. It keeps me awake at night. If you could help us financially, I would appreciate it more than you know. And you help so many other people. Be as generous as you can, if you can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope. For any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send you as my thank you the cassette teaching, What About the Past. Gotta go. Whenever you write or call, give us the call letters of this great station. And Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.